Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
You know, I think all of us have some kind of an understanding, really, of the impact that Christ had when he came to the earth. We certainly understand the influence that he's had on our lives. Somebody can thank the Lord for Jesus, because he certainly changed your life. I mean, the path we were on and where we would have ended up without Christ is absolutely mind-boggling, but because of this wonderful love of Christ Jesus, he's really changed us. We know that this grip that death had upon our life, this fear of death, is gone, because the scripture says there's a way that appears right, but the end leads to death. But thanks be to God that Jesus set us free from the law of sin and death. He set us free from that. So there's a freedom in our hearts that we have experienced that the world has not experienced, and that's because of what Christ's impact upon our life. And he certainly has unmasked the face of Satan, because sometimes he comes as an angel of light, doesn't he? Sometimes he comes in, tricks us, we don't even know what's going on, but Jesus has helped us. He's unmasked this satanic work, and we see God. We see the difference between right and wrong. We understand because God has helped us with this. And of course, he's redeemed us. How many are glad you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I mean, I'm glad I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Just that feeling of being redeemed, that we're a child of God. It's a marvelous thing what he's done in our life. And of course, one of the great things about church, and a lot of people maybe don't recognize it, but this is one body. I mean, that's truly amazing when you think about it. I mean, we have love for each other. We care for each other. This is one body of Christ. We're united together. There are gifts that God uses in our body, and we're together. It's a community. It's a unity of people who were separated by sin, separated by all kinds of things, but come together because of this wonderful love that we have in Christ Jesus. But what kind of impact did the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ have upon God the Father? What kind of impact? I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. John 17:24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Aren't you glad of that? And to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. The Father's love for Jesus transcends time. Any boundary, the love the Father has for the Son, transcended. His love is so great. Before the stars, before the earth, before God created angels, before he created men, the Father and the Son have only known one thing, this love for one another. This powerful love. The love between the Father and the Son is so perfect. The love between the Father and Son is so united that the scriptures can correctly say in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." United together with this powerful love for one another. During the ministry of Jesus, Jesus himself spoke about the love between himself and his Father. And in John chapter 3 and verse 35, it says, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands." Now that's a mouthful. That the Father placed everything in the hands of the Son. Now many people disbelieve the relationship between the Father and the Son. They don't see that love, that God has turned everything over into the hands of the Son. You remember many times in his ministry, especially I remember one time at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day, Jesus heals a man and tells the man, pick up his mat and walk, which was illegal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says that the Father loves the Son and he's placed everything in the Son's hands. And then Jesus is comparing himself. He says, I'm comparing myself with God. God has given everything into my hand. I am comparing myself with him. And the Pharisees are infected by a murderous spirit at this particular time because Jesus equates himself with God. And Jesus again says to these Pharisees in John chapter 5 and verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. The Father reveals to the Son all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. How many know God's got greater things in plan for us? Greater things than we can even imagine. You see, the love of the Father commits the Father's purposes to the Son. He says, here, everything's in your hand. I want you to go forth and bring forth life to the world. Dead in trespasses of sin, now I want you to bring forth life. I want you, at the end of the world, you're going to execute all judgment. It's all in your hands. I want you to do what is impossible for anyone to do. I want you to raise the dead. And the love of the Son always follows the plans of the Father. Jesus always does the will of the Father. And by doing this, he's revealing the Father. He does the Father's will, which reveals the world of a Father who loves the creation. And he's always revealing himself. Every deed that he does reveals his Father's love. Every obedience of Jesus is revealing how much the Father loves. We read in John 14 and 31, the world must learn this. This is what the world has to learn. And the world is having a hard time understanding this. But the world must learn that the love of the Father, that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. The world is having a difficult time understanding this. Jesus is aware when his time comes, when he begins his ministry. And his first public ministry, the very first appearance, this love between the Father and the Son is clearly manifested to show the world the love between the Father and the Son. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven opened. I love that. The heaven is open. It's still open. And the Holy Spirit is still being poured out. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Open heaven, Spirit falls upon the Son. The Father speaks in his first public appearance in the ministry. And the first thing the Father says is that you are my Son, whom I love and I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. See, we tend to read this sometimes and then rush to the next truth that we find in the scriptures. But remember, there was no one like Jesus. There was no one that was like him. In his introduction to public ministry, the Father draws so close to him that he speaks audibly. Speaks into the world. Why? So that the world must learn of this love between the Father and the Son. And the heavens are opened. Now, can you imagine what would happen today if the heavens would spark open in this place and the Spirit would be poured out in power upon this house? Whew. Glory to God. I mean, we sense it in our spirit. But to have it actually done, and it's, the heavens are open and it is available to us. And I can't tell you what services are going to be like in the future, but I guarantee you they're going to be a little different than today. They are going to be different. And he says, I love you and I am well pleased. And we know that same spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. That same spirit comes and engulfs us with this wonderful love of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. I know where I would be without Christ. And that is exciting to me. John the Baptist, he hears the same message in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, I don't think we can find a human example to understand the dynamics of this unrestrained oneness, this oneness between the Father and the Son that exists, this unity, this great love between these two. We stand in awe of it. We certainly should learn from it. We should learn from this wonderful love that the Father and the Son had for each other, because this is the essence of heaven. It is the very essence of heaven. This wonderful love between the Father and the Son, it is what heaven is all about. The unity and love between the Father and the Son, the Father in heaven, the Son on the earth, there's a perfect symbiosis between the two of them, and it's a great love that is expressed through the Scriptures. What's so amazing is that when the Father expresses this love to the Son, when the Son first moves into his ministry and he's baptized in water, the very first thing the Father says is that he loves his Son. And the Son has done nothing yet. He's done nothing. Not one miracle. Has not really done anything. He's a simple carpenter coming to be baptized just like everyone else. Until the Father spoke, just a woodworker, a builder. Even in the ordinary tasks of life, Jesus draws the praise of heaven. That's how much God loves him. His center, his very reason for being, his esprit de corps, if you will, was always to please the Father. And Jesus lived for God alone, to do the Father's will, to please him. And here on the Jordan River was only the first public exchange. This was the first public exchange between heaven and the Son, between the Father and the Son. Only the first one. After Jesus begins his ministry, we find people following him and people are being healed. Miracles are taking place. And Jesus tells the people, please, don't tell anybody who I am. He even silences the demons when they say, "If you come to torment us before our time," he tells them to be silent. And in Matthew chapter 12, 15 and 18, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from the place because so many people followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, and this was a prophetic word that was spoken by God through the prophet, and he says, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nation." Prophetic words spoken by the Father about the Son. My Son, a servant chosen by me, one whom I love, one whom I delight in. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Now, God speaks that about his Son, but the same thing he's done for us. The same thing. He's placed his spirit upon us. He's chosen us. This love the Father has for the Son, Jesus wants that same love to be experienced by us, this same unity between the Father and the Son. And God cannot help himself when he talks about his Son. All he wants to do is talk about how much he loves his Son, just like grandkids. Same idea. We just want to talk about our children, talk about our grandchildren. God can't help himself. And I guarantee you, when you and I see him face to face, we will not be able to help ourselves either. We'll be talking about Jesus. All the things that he's done in our life. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am pleased." Then he says, "Listen to him, the Father." Again, we move from one truth to another so quickly. But the Father speaks the same thing again. He says, I love him. The only time God spoke audibly, he said the same thing. This is my son whom I love. Expressing that love. God's mind has unlimited creativity. He could have said anything he wanted. But there's nothing more profound, there's nothing more revelatory than what he says when he says, listen to him. He could have said anything, but he said, listen to him. If only the world would listen to him. If only the world would listen to the Son. Same is true often in our own life. God help us to listen to the Son. Sometimes we struggle with God's plan for our life. I find young people are often struggling. What should we do with our life? Should I be a teacher? Should I be a truck driver? What should we do? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, as you go, no matter what you're going to do, you're going to drive truck, you're going to be a teacher, no matter what you do, but as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons freely. You have received, freely give. Oh, but pastor, should I get married? Should I move to Texas? There's more jobs in Texas, a lot of them now. Should I go to college? Listen to him. Whatever you do, proclaim the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. We go from knowledge to knowledge to knowledge to knowledge, from doctrine to doctrine to doctrine, yet the God of the universe expresses the simplicity, listen to him. Simple. Listen to him. The Father and the Son are one. They are working in unity. They're on the same page. And God says, listen to him. In John 17, 25 and 26, Jesus declares, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I'll continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So that this oneness, this love would become so part of us that we would be filled with this love, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love for each other, that we might be united, that we might become one. The same love the Father has for the Son, he has for us. And Jesus makes that known to us. So that this love would incorporate us, this passionate oneness, the satisfaction of being knitted together with Christ Jesus. It's what motivated the Father, and it should motivate us. The Father loves the Son, and the Son reveals the true nature of the Father to the world because that love is being expressed, and it's now being expressed through the body of Christ Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. In Christ, people see a loving Father, not a harsh judge, because they see a Father who is willing to give his own Son for the redemption of the world. And how many know the Father has always been watching throughout history? He has an eye on us. He's watching us. God is an eye. He's made his heart vulnerable to us. He's opened his heart, revealed his love to us, and he's become vulnerable. And oftentimes, I'm afraid, we all cause him pain. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 through 6, the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. I'll take that. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. And when the sons of God went to the daughters of men, had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The world grows wicked and wicked and wicked. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And so God chose a man, Abraham, created a nation to create a people. And in Psalm 78 in verse 40, he reveals his pain. He says, how often these people that I have chosen have rebelled against him in the desert and grieved him in the wasteland. Yet his love is so amazing that whenever a sinner repents, the angels rejoice. It's amazing. Yet what happens in heaven when God is grieved? In Judges chapter 10, verses 13, and it says, help us to understand this compassion the Father has for us, but you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to other gods that you have chosen. Let them save you when you're in trouble, so you can see the pain that's in the Father's heart. And Israel repents, and they find out in verse number 16, it says, then they got rid of their foreign gods among them and served the Lord, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. God has longed for man to be reconciled with him. God has longed to have fellowship with mankind. God has longed it from the very beginning of the creation. When man fell, it grieved him so much. And Jesus provided a way that now man can be united together with the Father. He's provided this wonderful way. You and I, we had a debt we couldn't pay, but thank God that Jesus brought healing and paid the debt. Jesus took care of both accounts. The parable of Matthew in 18:23, it says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. You see, this is the Father's desire. He wants to settle the account. As long as we abide in mercy, mercy is open to us. God wants us to be people of mercy. He wants us to have the same love that the Father has, so that this love can be expressed to the world, so they understand that God truly was sent. He came. Jesus is God in the flesh. He came. The Father has never taken pleasure in the death of the wicked. Satan has fostered that lie. God's attitude is just the opposite. He has great joy when people repent. It's because of Jesus God can answer a prayer for mercy. We can pray for family members. We can pray for friends. And every time Christ is intercede, he is revealed through our intercession. God withholds wrath, and divine mercy searches for an opportunity to triumph in the life of those we pray for. God delights in showing mercy. That's why it feels good when you pray for others rather than condemning them. Can I hear an amen to that? When God the Father spoke audibly, he only said one thing. This is my Son whom I love, and I'm pleased with him. And I honestly believe that if our hearts would be moved with compassion, we would see far more miracles take place in our ministries. The love that the Father had for the Son and the love that the Son had for the Father, it was the compelling force that brought miraculous work in the world, that brought heaven to the earth. Jesus felt deeply within his heart. It exploded into this earth. And we find that even when like two blind men are crying out, the Bible says that Jesus' heart poured out towards these two men who were crying out, and he touched their eyes with his heart. It was his heart that touched their eyes that brought healing into their life. When the people were hungry, thousands of them, it was his compassion, it was his love, it was his heart that reached out and brought the miracle of the feeding of the 5 and the 4,000. It was this openness of the heart, the love, that brought the miracle. When Jesus' friend Lazarus was in the tomb, it was his tears and the compassion and the love that expressed from his heart that released Lazarus from death in the tomb. It brought miracles. If we would pay attention to what God has placed in our hearts, the same love that the Father had for the Son, God has placed that same love in our hearts. And if we would pay attention to the love that has been placed in our hearts by God, we would see far more miracles take place. We would see lives being changed. We all want to go deeper. We talk about going deeper. I feel the same way. I want to go deeper. I want more. If we really want to go deeper in ministry, we must connect with the depths of our hearts. We must be rooted and grounded in love. We would see far more miracles we would allow that love that God has placed in our heart to rule and reign. Let's pray. Lord, we've taken a look at your relationship with the Father. We see how you and the Father have such love for one another, and that God committed everything into your hands because of his great love, and that you were willing to do whatever the Father asked you to do because of this great love. I pray for our congregation that our hearts would become so in tune with this depth of love that the Father has for us and the Son has for us, that we ourselves would become that uniting force that would allow the miracles that you want to see happen in these days in our hearts and our lives to be completed, so that other people might recognize who Jesus really is. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me. Pastor Ken, could you just close with a song and open your heart, and let's ask the Lord this week to let our hearts rule our lives, to let our hearts feel deeply. And when you begin to feel deeply, recognize that God is going to use you at that moment. God is going to give you the strength to follow your heart and watch the miracles take place. Pastor Ken.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He
learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. The motivating factor will always be love. Lord, grant this love of Christ to explode within our lives so that the world might know who you really are. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with about 37 people and say, I love you.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. It's hard cause you're trying to believe it. So close your eyes and maybe you can see it. There's a blue sky just beyond the grave. You were born to fly. Like a firefly, like a firefly. Lighting up the sky, lighting up the sky. You were made to soar. You were made for more, you were made for more. Weighing you down, it's hard to breathe, but you just gotta let it out. Don't fear, love hears you when you cry. Right now, in the moment of weakness, right now, as you're falling into pieces, right now, you only gotta realize you were born to fly. Like a firefly, like a firefly, lighting up the sky. Right now, you only gotta realize you were born to fly.